Beate Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome back to our today's Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. We are a retreat center. We offer spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, or about social justice. Our visitor today is Father Stuart Seller. Thank you, Father Stuart, for coming here, and a warm welcome to our radio program.
Thank you, Beata.
Father Stuart Seller is a priest of the Needham Diocese, currently on the staff of Holy Cross Seminary, Auckland, as a senior priest in residence. Father Stuart worked for many years in Catholic social services and as a priest before taking up full-time teaching at the seminary, when it was located at Mosgiel, near Dunedin. Since then, he has been involved in tertiary education, and he is especially interested in the relationship between human and spiritual growth. Father Stuart, you will facilitate a retreat day with the topic The Lost Son at our Mercy Spirituality Center next Thursday, 22nd of May, from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. The title of your retreat is The Lost Son. What is the reason why you chose the name of a parable?
Well, the lost son is somebody who thinks that he's at the end of his tether. He doesn't have a very high opinion of himself. He knows that he hasn't behaved in the way that his father would have wanted him. And so he goes away and spends all the money that he gets from the father and then realizes, what on earth is he to do? And I think he's an image of many people today who are feeling absolutely lost and abandoned. They don't know quite where their life is going. They really don't have a great deal of hope or in their lives. So they're the people that I think are very specially of concern, not just because, you know, people in society think that they're at the bottom and so we ought to be kind to them, but rather that hidden there in their pain are some extraordinary gifts. They are really quite unusual people. And this is what I found when I was working as a prison chaplain in Dunedin. You know, people used to say to me, how do you get on there at prison? It must be terribly depressing. And yet it's a place that I used to love going to. The women who were there had hard, hard life experiences, and yet when you got to know them, there was something in them that was really beautiful and valuable.
The parable, The Lost Son, is one of the most challenging ones in the Bible. The younger son spends his whole inheritance on a lavish lifestyle, and while his older brother is the good person, the one who obeys.
Yes, I think in the parable, Jesus is giving the people who think I'm doing very well, nice, thank you, it's a shame other people weren't doing as well as I am. And I think Jesus is giving them a little bit of a kick in the teeth and saying, look, don't you think that you've got it all together? Already, when you're thinking that way, you're putting yourself way above other people. You yourself ought to learn a little bit of humility.
Does that have to do with the spiritual and the human growth?
It does, because for me, they're married together. There's not a clear distinction that is spiritual and this is human. It's all one in my Christian understanding of human and spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm. And so when I think back of that story, maybe we can just give a little bit of a summary of the story of the prodigal son for those who might not know the story.
Well, there's this young man who says to his dad, who's a farmer apparently, he says, look, Dad, I know that I'm going to get a certain inheritance from you when you die, which is a bit like saying, I wish you were dead, Dad. give it to me now so that I can really enjoy it. So he goes off and he spends it lavishly. And then he's reduced to such a place that he has to work with the pigs and feed the pigs. And for a Jewish boy, that's really come to the bottom of the pile. And he decides, well, perhaps if I go back to my dad and say to him, look, I know I've done wrong, I'm sorry about that. And the amazing thing is that when he got there, here his dad was looking for him. It's interesting that it says that the father was looking for his son, and when he was a long way off, mm-hmm. he ran towards him. You know, a patriarch in the East doesn't run for anybody. People run for the patriarch.
And he recognized him from far away, although he had spent his money and he was working with the pigs, and he certainly looked different to what he looked like before.
Yes, but yes, as you say, the dad recognized him. But the dad was searching for him. That's, to me, the interesting thing. He was looking for him a long way off. And then, of course, when he came, the boy wanted to make a big speech of sorrow, and the dad wouldn't even listen to it. He just bundled him up in his arms and said, you know, we're going to celebrate. You were lost, and now you're found. It's a great story.
And then the second part is the most challenging, because the first one is, I think that's amazing what the father does. But then the second part of the story...
Well, yes. Look, can I?
Yeah.
I'll tell a true story about this. This wasn't in New Zealand, I emphasize. I was actually sitting in the church this day when a young colleague of mine was preaching, and he preached about the dad had every right to be angry. But in fact, the dad was so filled with longing for his son to come back that any anger just disappeared. There was a man that I knew sitting in the congregation whose son had had huge trouble with drugs. In fact, he'd been on drugs, heavily on drugs, for more than 2 years. And the dad came out of the church that morning weeping, and he said to me, I suddenly realized that story is about me. What sort of a dad am I to my son?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm happy to tell you that now, after a few more years of agony and praying, the lad is off the drugs and is into drug counseling himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the dad is as grateful as you can imagine. Yeah,
that's an amazing story.
It really is, yeah.
So this man, by hearing the parable of Jesus, he saw his own role in his own life changing.
He thought that the story was mainly about the son.
Yeah.
And he said, I suddenly realized that story is actually about the dad.
Yeah. And then the part of the brother who was always behaving very well, and poor men.
Yes, well, you know, as we said, it those who think they stand should be careful lest they fall, you know.
Yeah. For those who have just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz, Muffin Talk, or send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. For any feedback, I'm very happy to receive any feedback about the Muffin Talks. My visitor today is Father Stuart Seller. He is the facilitator of a retreat at our Mercy Spirituality Center with the title The Lost Son. This retreat will take place on the 22nd of May. And Father Stuart had just told us about the reasons why he chose the title The Lost Son, and why this story, this parable, is so important for today, for the people to be more receptive and more welcoming, and to think each person sees himself differently. And he also said that we have to think of people who feel abandoned, and that there was a lot of pain hidden in people who have extraordinary gifts. And he was telling us about his experience in the prison when he was a prison chaplain. If I understand right, your retreat day is meant to provide encouragement for people who feel lost, abandoned, and empty. This is a very practical approach. How are you planning to achieve this?
First of all, very gently reflecting, having people listen to the story from the scriptures. And there are some others that I'd like to work with, like the story of Lazarus, the one who was raised from the dead. These are about people who were very, very sick and who trusted in their friend Jesus. I guess if I can just change direction a little bit, I'm a great follower of the Canadian man Jean Vanier, who set up what he called little Noah's Ark communities throughout the world. His idea was that when he was a young man, he took two very severely disabled people to live with him. He knew that it wouldn't just be something that he'd do for a month or two, that if he was making a commitment to them, bringing them out of institutional care to live with him, then that would have to be a long ongoing commitment, perhaps even lifelong. So he made that commitment and then invited others to come and share in that and to care for the disabled. But the amazing thing was that he said he found after a short time that the so-called disabled in fact had their own disabilities. And so a lot of the healing that takes place in the ARC communities are not just of the disabled people coming to a greater awareness of their giftedness and goodness, but also for those who think that they are very able-bodied and will be able to do something for others. They're the ones who start to realize, I too have my hurts. I too have my wounds. And they start to become healed. So it's not an upper meeting a lower, or a higher meeting a lower, rather. It's two people meeting as equals.
Yes.
One who might be physically disabled, but has wonderful gifts of love and compassion and understanding, and the other one who thought that she or he was doing so very, very well, realizing that they have a lot to learn about relatedness. So that's the kind of thinking that drives my own approach to things.
Will you talk about these examples during the retreat?
Yes, I will. Because they mean so much. I actually met Vanya some years ago and made a retreat with him. It was it was quite extraordinary. And then he came to Dunedin and actually stayed a night in my house. And it was very special. It's nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I'll never forget that as he was going, I drove him out to the airport, and as he was going, he's a big, tall man. He took me in his arms, gave me a great big bear hug, and he said, "Stuart, we will meet again at a time and place that Jesus has decided." So I look forward to that.
but when you talk about the disabled, then how do you compare that to the lost son? Are the disabled before they came to meet with him, did they feel abandoned, or did they feel lost, or how do you connect it?
I'm thinking of the White House staffers who actually finished up with criminal charges against them and in prison after Nixon was impeached. And they went through an extraordinary change of heart because they realized that they'd been at the top of the pile and they had neglected so much in their own lives about simple honesty and truthfulness and about the way their relationships worked. And when they started thinking about it, they actually started, several of them, turned round in their lives. And so I think that this is perhaps something that a lot of people are realizing now, that a great deal of affluence doesn't bring you happiness. That there's an emptiness there. And I want to look at what is that emptiness, and how can they find a way of addressing the emptiness there and not be discouraged by it.
That reminds me of last week when I talked to Marie Corbett and we were talking about healthy. Who is healthy? And that's the same topic in a way, because one might be might have visible problems, and others have hidden problems and hidden pains, and in a way both can help each other and grow together spiritually.
And one of the things that I've learned over the years as a priest is that everybody that you meet has some hidden concern, maybe even a deep worry, maybe even a concealed wound that's there. And the whole idea of Christ's compassion is reflected in that. And that's what I love about this present Pope that we've got, Pope Francis. I mean, he's saying, look, you don't have to be successful. He's telling us to get out and be with people who are hurting, to be with people who are disadvantaged. And he himself, bless him, used to go into the slums in Argentina. There was a lovely story recently that there was a pilgrimage of people coming from Buenos Aires to Rome, and he actually recognized a young man whom he knew in one of the slums. Mm-hmm. You know, he knew them. He knew the sheep by name. And so that's where he's calling us. And I guess because of my own background in social services and in the prison, I say yes, that's the kind of ministry that that makes sense to me.
So you just mentioned that you were working in Catholic social services for many years, and you worked as a chaplain at Dunedin Prison for women, also for many years. And I'm sure that you've seen many sad stories, families that have lost sons or daughters, and hopefully also some positive developments. Does this experience draw you closer to the story of the lost son?
It does, really, because it's not just a story from the past. It's actually a reality that you come to know today. And that's the continuing relevance of the gospel, because if you look at it closely, it's not talking about what happened in Palestine 2,000 years ago so much as talking about an ongoing eternal reality, and it's something that we ourselves experience in a different way, in a different historical and social context, yes. I mean, even in terms of sheep, you know, the way he experienced sheep is the way different from the way we experience sheep. I mean, we have great big flocks, and his flocks were just a handful of sheep. But there's something there that's ongoing and unique. It's the concern that the leader has for those who have to be cared and protected for.
Can you say some words about being a chaplain of a prison? A chaplain is a person that, well, maybe you can explain the role of a chaplain in the prison a little bit more.
Well, what used to happen, I'd go in there 3 days a week, and often you would just walk around the prison, moving from one gallery to another. And you'd have short conversations with people. And again, in the Gospels, it seems to me that's what Jesus does a lot of. He just walks around. He has cups of tea, well, the equivalent of cups of tea.
Well, muffin talk.
Yes. And he meets people and has little chats. And at the time, they don't seem terribly significant. But what I've found is that a few weeks later, somebody will say, "Oh, you said such and such." And they'll pick up on that and want to talk about it. We used to have a mass, a Eucharist, there once on a Wednesday, and the prisoners were very, very diligent at coming. They didn't have to come, but they did. And I remember when James K. Baxter died, they all seemed to know Jimmy Baxter, and there was a huge outpouring of grief. So they asked me specifically to come down. Please, would I have a funeral service, or rather a memorial service for James. which we did. Of course, the whole prison, including staff, turned out.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them were Maori, so they sang Maori hymns. That's where I learned to sing Mo Moria.
In prison.
In prison, yeah. And it's really... There was one night in particular, on a Wednesday... No, it wasn't. One of the nights, we would have what we call a chaplain's hour. I'd sometimes bring in a visitor from outside, maybe somebody who had worked in Africa as a missionary, and she or he would talk about that. And this particular night, they said that they just wanted to talk about prayer. So I thought, fine, if you want to talk about prayer, I'm more than happy to do that. So we sat there for half an hour, and after about half an hour, the conversation lagged a little bit. And one of the women said, when I get locked in my cell at night, I want to pray, and I don't know how.
Mm.
So I just sit on my bed for half an hour and let God look at me.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't realize that's one of the higher forms of prayer.
Yeah.
And this, for me, was an extraordinary confirmation that you don't just label these people as no hopers. There are things going on deep within them.
So they might seem for the society as lost sons and daughters.
Exactly.
But they are, in fact, they just need some support.
Yes. And often I know this will sound strange, but I would often feel that I'd been ministered to you too.
Mm-hmm.
And would go out of the prison at night thinking they're forcing their way into the kingdom ahead of you.
So your service was really appreciated.
They tell me it was, yes. But to me, it was 6 wonderful years.
Yeah. So it was very valuable for both sides.
And that's the way it should be, I think. You know, ministry isn't just somebody standing above and telling people what to do. It's a sharing. And
it comes from service, ministrare.
It is, yes, yes.
Yes.
And so often I come away from spending time with a group or with women feeling, well, you know, I got more out of that than I think they did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Catholic Social Services did also have that similar impact on you?
It did. That was a little bit different because it was rather structured and there was quite a lot of counselling work involved in that.
Yeah.
But, oh, yes, there are situations that you'll never forget and some that were very, very touching.
Mm-hmm. The story about the prodigal son, the lost son, speaks about greed, sorry, mercy, forgiveness, but also about justice.
Mm-hmm.
I think this might be the point where most people struggle with when they read the parable of the lost son.
Oh, yeah.
What message can you give them?
I don't think it's meant to be an instruction in justice. It's the Bible isn't a book on economics. it's a story about the way in which we value one another,
mm-hmm.
the way in which we relate to one another. Are we willing to understand, to forgive, to give another person a second chance? And this is one of the things from the prison that I used to appreciate, that sometimes somebody coming out of the prison would find it very, very difficult to get a job. And some people, some really good business people would say, I'm prepared to give them a job,
mm-hmm.
give them a second chance. And that always impressed me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like with a prodigal son, but he did the first step. The father didn't go out and look in different places for him. He was still on his terrain, but he was hoping that the son himself would be ready to come back.
Well, yes, nobody can be forced to come back.
Yeah. Thank you, Father Stuart, for your explanations on the retreat day, the lost son. And for the retreat day, how do you expect it to be organized? Do you sit there in a round and talk about it, or will you read the gospel first, or will you read the parable of the lost son and reflect especially on that gospel? How can I imagine?
We'll do a bit of all of that. Sometimes a retreat is considered to be a time of total silence, and I don't find that a universal law. Sometimes people need to have a little bit of exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And in a recent retreat there at the Epsom Spirituality Centre, well, the Mercy Spirituality Centre in Epsom, I should
yes.
say, I had suggested to the people that after they had thought more about the story, the gospel story that we were looking at, that they might find somebody else to talk about it with. And it was interesting afterwards, I got a letter from one of the participants saying, I'd never experienced a retreat that way and wondered how it could have worked. And then suddenly it came together like the pieces of a jigsaw.
Oh.
That different people were offering different thoughts, and all together, by the end of the day, it had started to come together and make a whole for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I was rather pleased about that jigsaw.
So it's not just an input, but it's more a participation it's growing from each other.
No, the main voice to listen to is the one that's
within
your side. Yes,
yes.
Yes, that's the one, the still small voice, as it's sometimes called. That's the strongest and the best.
That's great, and a very good feedback. So I hope that the people who are coming to your retreat next week, that they will also appreciate this background and the retreat day and the participation during the retreat day. And I wish you all the best. And thank you very much for coming to the studio and for talking about your retreat day, which will take place next Thursday for the whole day from 9 o'clock until 9:30 until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. If you have any further questions on this retreat, or if any of your listeners are happy to give us feedback on our Muffin Talks, please send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. 840 is because our radio program is every Friday at 8:40 a.m. on FM, Radio FM 104.6. And I would like to draw your attention now to some upcoming events in our Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. From the 16th to the 18th of May, it's now, there's an Enneagram with Marie Corbett. I interviewed Marie last week, and my conversation is still available on www.planetaudio.org.nz. Muffin Talk. Please check for the archived interview. And for more information, please also look at our website, www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. Wednesday, 21st of May, Philip Hadley is going to come, and his topic is, How is Jesus Present? It will be a talk which deals with the present absence of Jesus. Very interesting topic. And he will speak at our Mercy Spirituality Center on the 21st of May. It's a Wednesday from 10 o'clock to 11:30. And, of course, Thursday, 22nd of May, Father Stuart Seller, the retreat day, The Lost Son, a retreat that is aimed at encouraging people who feel lost, abandoned, or empty, from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Please give us a ring and register. The phone number is Auckland 09-638-6238. And if you tuned in later and would like to listen to the whole interview with Father Stuart Seller, you can do this at www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk. Thank you, Father Stuart, for having been here, and I wish you a good week and a successful retreat day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you to all your listeners, and hope to be able to speak to you again next week.